Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. When we set our heart to do something, God honors our obedience and sacrifice. Amen. To see the way God is raising up a choir and raising up this worshipers before God is amazing. This is amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. And with children, we must learn to be really careful. You see, every time that Nayonga comes here to sing, she likes to sit on that stool and sing. So now her daughter has been watching her. And in her mind, I'm going to be like my mom. I'm going to sing. One day I'm going to sit on that stool and I'm going to sing. Amen? Amen. Now when she has the opportunity, we try to say, okay, Natasha, let's help you. Say, no, I'm going to carry the stool. She's been looking forward to this moment. And she brought the stool herself, put it there. You can see how quick she gets up there, how quick she gets down. And she sat there and her first song. Learning from my mom, listening and growing in that atmosphere. What a blessing. What a blessing. Look at JC. JC has been hearing prayer, listening to the word of God. Amen? And here he is, speaking from his own heart, that which God has been teaching him. JC led us in prayer. Amen? We thank God for Salome. See what God is doing. Amen. Wow. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Any generation that neglects the children neglects their future. Amen. We thank God. We thank God and we give God glory. Amen. We have a few of our people hanging out everywhere. They need to come in and sit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's just join. A few of our people are not feeling well. And so their wives are taking care of them. Or their husbands are taking care of their wives. So let's just take a moment. Let's pray for those who are under the weather this morning. And those that are not feeling well. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your sons and your daughters. Whose desire is always to be in the fellowship of believers and the family of your presence. Father, thank you. You know their heart. Thank you. Thank you. You sent your word and heal our diseases. This morning we thank you for those present and for those at home watching. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your visitation. I thank you for your angelic ministration. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for recovery. I thank you for testimony, even in these situations. We give you glory. You are worthy, O Lord. Thank you for visiting everyone. Thank you for touching everyone that desires to be here. Thank you that they will all be here to celebrate Christmas with. We give you glory because you are faithful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Manuel, you can invite, there shouldn't be 20 ushers there. Invite them to come and sit in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Like when Wola was praying, he said, we are a week from Christmas. Amen. What is Christmas to you? What does Christmas mean to all of us? You see, the joy and the beauty of the beautiful red red uniform that just came. And everywhere you go, in the stores, in the mall, at this time of the year, on radios, on TV, there's such an awakening of joy. Amen? People are celebrating, whether they are believers or unbelievers, they are celebrating. Amen? It's almost like a supernatural atmosphere in this season that makes people, wherever they are, to be awakened to a time of joy. We know there are so many people also in this season that might be feeling a little bit emotionally or depressed or unhappy because they don't really have what everybody needs to have to enjoy this season. But the question this morning I want to ask you, every one of us that is, whether you're 5 years old or 3 years old, if you're 3 years old, you've seen three Christmas. If you're 5 years old, you've seen five Christmas. If you're 10 years old, you've seen 10. And then you just go on as 30 years old, you've seen 30 Christmas. Isn't that amazing? So think about how old you are. You don't need to say the year. Amen? But think about how many Christmas you have seen. Amen? So what is the season to you? What does this season mean to you? After so many years of Christmas, what will this season, what does it mean to you? And when we leave this place today, what will it mean to you? Is it a tradition? Is it, after you are saved, a celebration of being in the family of God, of what Jesus has done for us? What does Christmas mean to you in your daily life? What does Christmas mean to you? Is Christmas a one-day thing for you? Is it a daily experience? Is it something that you are still expecting it to happen? What is this season for you? I want to read some scriptures about what this season, I use the word season because everything God does is in times and seasons. Amen? And within that season, the things happen. I want to read to you what this season meant to the people of that time, to the people of that time, of that generation. And maybe as the Lord speaks to us today, it will mean something or remind us of what it will mean to us, not only now, but into the future. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to the book of Luke. I'm still just thanking God for our choir, our children. I'm a little bit emotional to see God what He's doing. Amen? Because necessity is the mother of invention. Amen. There's so much in us that sometimes we don't manifest it unless sometimes it's needed. Amen. So let's open to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 is a summary of exactly what happened in this season about 2,000 years ago. But we want to read this and see what it means for them then and what it means for us today. It was one evening we are in prayer here, and as we always do, we wait on the Lord, and God uses people, just speaks just very fresh, and sometimes spontaneously we always are flowing with the move of the Spirit every night. One of the nights, one of our sisters actually, Keziah, read the scripture, and though she was reading it and praying it, but that day it was not a scripture to me. It confirms something that was God has been dealing with me about. Before this year ends, I want you to start speaking this. I want you to pray this, not just for you, but to release it into the atmosphere as a harvest. And this scripture became personal for me into this season. Let's start from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Amen? Angel means a messenger. Means a messenger. A message. Means something that heaven has, and heaven wants you to receive that thing at that moment. And here it says it was sent to Galilee. Everybody say, to my city. God knows your city. Amen? God knows your house address. Amen? Many of you are receiving cards. You're receiving different Christmas wishes. I want you to say, I want a message from heaven. You need to mean what I'm saying, because God will honor your confession. Amen? And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of the Lord, was sent from God to your city, to your home, to your workplace, where you are. And right now, this morning, it's being sent to you as you're sitting here. There is a word for you. Not what I'm saying. Listen to what God will say to you in the midst of what he will be saying this morning. To a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin. Amen. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was what? Mary. Say, God knows my name. Amen. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Can you say, I am blessed?
I am blessed.
I am blessed among men and women. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled. In other words, she had anxiety. And he said, and cast in her mind, was thinking in her, what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. If you believe, you say, I have found favor with God.
I have favor with God.
I have favor with God. And this morning, the word of the Lord is come to where I am. Because God knows me by name. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And shall call his name what?
Jesus.
And shall call his name
Jesus.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There are miracles, there are breakthroughs in our life that men cannot help us. Amen? There are things that we're expecting only the hand of God can do. Amen? It says, this situation, what you are saying, man cannot help me. Amen? And this is what the angel said. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord will overshadow you. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And this miracle shall be by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? This morning, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. The Spirit of the Lord will overshadow you. And that word that is spoken this morning that you receive for yourself will bring forth fruit. By the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, verse 36, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, we are just starting, we're laying the foundation for what this season should mean to us, to me, this season. Not 2,000 years ago, not 20 years ago, not Christmas of 10 years ago. What this Christmas should bring in my life. If you don't remember anything, if you don't go home with anything, I pray God will seal this in your heart. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Today, I want to say to you that with God, there is nothing impossible in your life. With man, it is impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible with you. It doesn't matter what it is. The angel said, there is your cousin. He's talking about a testimony of what God did in somebody else's life in this season. We're talking about that season. He says, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, that was called barren. Is it financial barrenness? Is it health barrenness? Is it barrenness does not always talk about child. Land can be barren. A land can be without fruit, without tree. Barrenness is a pending miracle that has not taken place. It must be a miracle. And it's pending. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
So, the angel is saying, all those things that we call impossible, this season of visitation, God has come to let you know there is nothing impossible when a visitation comes. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Is anything impossible right now in your life? In that season, they felt that way. But the message of an angel came from the throne of God. The word of the Lord came that in that season, and God is saying, in this season, we are remembering the birth of our Lord. That this is what happened. One of the message was, with God, nothing is impossible. Now, verse 38. And Mary said, behold thy handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to what? Thy word. Everybody say, according to God's word. According to thy word. Because the word is from a message from God through the angel saying, this is the word of the Lord. It appears impossible. Mary said, how can this ever happen? The angel said, the Spirit of the Lord will do it. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, let be it unto me according to thy word, according to the word of the Lord. And the angel departed. Basically, Mary received by faith that word. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth, her cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Amen. For see, although as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb. You see, when you hear the word of the Lord, there are two ears you hear with. You have the natural ears and you have the faith ears. If all you hear this morning is the natural ears, it will just be the same Christmas you've done for the last 10 years. But if you hear with the faith ears, Jesus said in Revelations, he that has that kind of ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Faith comes by hearing. First with your natural ears. Then it says, hearing by the word of God. Spiritual ears. All you need for a miracle is to know you've heard from the Lord. All you need is a word from the Lord. One word. Mary received it. Now, verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be what? A performance of those things which were what? Told her from what? The Lord. My brothers and sisters, this is the reason why the Lord gave me this word this morning. I was in prayer
early part of this morning, and I was asking the Lord, so much to you can share, so much God is doing. But it's a house that waits upon the Lord. And the word the Lord gave to me is, declare unto them today to enter into the season of fulfillment. The season of fulfillment. I want to read verse 45 again. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment. That word performance in Greek is the same word, the performing, meaning there will be a demonstration, the performing. That word in Greek is the word fulfillment. There shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told, which we received from the Lord. Amen. Verse 57, if you jump. Now Elizabeth full time came that she shall be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Hallelujah. The word this morning is fulfillment. Performance of that which we received. You see, 2,000 years ago, about this season, heaven opened and activities started taking place in the earth. Visitations upon visitations upon visitations. What makes God visit in seasons like this is to fulfill what God has spoken, is to perform what he has spoken. The book of Ezekiel says, God says, he says that the word that has gone out of my mouth is like dew, is like rain. He says, it shall never return back to me empty. It must fulfill that for which I have sent it. So, what happened here? Right from the fall of man. The fall of man. God had everything great in the garden. Everybody said there was no sickness in Adam's life. There was no poverty in his life. He was wealthy and blessed. He was the first king of the universe. He had dominion. He was the first ruler. He was healthy, strong man. Eve was healthy, strong lady. Wonderful marriage. Amen? Amen. Everything was great. Everything God did was great. Everything was wonderful. Adam was married. They had everything. Amen? Amen. What brought in every evil we see today was sin. Every wickedness today was sin. Rebellion against God's word. Amen? And once that entered into the earth, Satan is the king of sin and is the king of darkness and is the one who oversees every demon that is used against poverty, against sickness, against disease, against this industry of iniquity from the fall of man. So ever since that time, the earth, atmosphere of the earth has been corrupted. Amen? But because God knew this, he said the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth, the Lord spoke and spoke prophetically when Adam and Eve lost and sin entered the world and all everything you see today opened the doors for hell to operate on earth from the second heaven. The Lord spoke to Adam and Eve's life
And it says, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Meaning, Adam's seed has been corrupted. But a seed is coming that is incorruptible. And when this seed comes, it will be born of God. It will be born of God. Amen? Peter says we are born again by incorruptible seed. Because Adam's seed has been corrupted. Every man that came into the world, he says, we have our righteousness is as a filthy rag. We have all sinned. By the sin of one man all. Amen? So, Adam's seed is corrupted. That's what we call flesh. But he says the seed of the woman will bruise, will destroy, will conquer, will overthrow. This iniquity, this embodiment of wickedness will be crushed by the seed of the woman. Amen? Amen. Just a side note before we continue. One time I was praying when I was waiting on God in a season. I said, God, so if Adam and Eve did not become naked, become aware of the visibility of their human nature, and you say, because now you give birth through travail, you start giving birth through travail, through sin and through the seed of Adam. I says, how will we have multiplied? How will we have children? And the Lord said, just like Mary. That's just a side note. Now, God always has a big plan. Amen? Amen? There are things God wanted to do with Moses. When Moses was now dead and broken and weak, he said, no, 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 no. No, send somebody with me. And now let's see, God, what if Moses has said, use me? What would have happened? The seed of the woman will crush the head. That was the prophetic word about Mary. The first prophetic word about Mary. And then all through the Bible, this prophecy was being carried. And when the whole world was corrupt and people were getting scattered, God found a man named Abraham. And God raised up Abraham and said, come out of the systems of the world, the culture that Satan dominates, and I want to use you to begin the generations of the things of the kingdom of God. I want to make you the father of nations. I want to start something with you. And so, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to make you a father. So, now God wants to begin this process from heaven, he calls Abraham. And Abraham and Sarah were 75 years old when they left Haran and started following God. And then guess what happened? The womb started dying and dying and dying and dying and dying. Amen? And started dying. Until Sarah was 89 years old. In Genesis 17, the womb of Sarah was now not just dead, but dead and dead. Amen? So God appeared to Abraham. God visited Abraham. Everybody say, I want a visitation. But I want to be obedient also. Because you're going to see very soon.
God spoke to Abraham, and God says, Abraham. Now he was 99 years old. And says, now is the time of fulfillment. Abraham said, what? God? 30 years ago I had Ishmael. Ishmael is good enough. Let me take Ishmael as my son. Amen? Amen? Amen. My brothers and sisters, in 1 Corinthians 15, just pay attention this morning, because the Spirit of God is taking you to a miracle. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the promises of God. Supernatural things are supernatural things. Natural things are natural things. Amen? Abraham was saying, God, I have a son. What is that son? Abraham's womb was, Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham was old. And God has already spoken, you are going to be a father of nations. I'm going to make you a father of nations. I'm going to release destiny through you. God has spoken. But the time came where we as humans are expecting performance, expecting fulfillment. It did not come. The time we think it will come. So, after much of God might, and everyone say, Abraham time expired. Human time expired. But God's time never expires. Hallelujah! Because with God, nothing is impossible if he has spoken. Abraham said, Sarah's womb is expired. I'm an old man. So all the seasons of man, the expectations of man has passed. So finally they said, if God spoke to us, we believe it. But I think we need to do it man's way to make it happen. So they called Abraham's servant. Her name is Hagar. And Sarah traditionally adopted her, you know, and says, give permission. So it's like, it's like a surrogate mother. Give this child for me so that this promise can be fulfilled. Amen? So they did that and Ishmael was born. Amen? Ishmael represents people who have had promises from God, their time expired, and because they felt they are waiting, nothing has happened, they go back in the flesh to try to get that thing to happen. I can't tell you how many churches are built on that mindset. I can't tell you how many people operate in that sense. That's why I asked you before we started, what is Christmas to you? Christmas is not a natural celebration. It's a remembrance of you living in the supernatural. You were born into a supernatural kingdom. And you can't leave the supernatural back to the flesh. You can't begin in the spirit and end back in the flesh. Paul told the Galatian church. Amen? So Abraham started in the supernatural. She and Sarah went, and Ishmael was born. So now, everybody say, God's time. That's called fulfillment time. When it's God's time, God shows up to Abraham and says, now is my time. Abraham says, okay. So what do you want to do? God says, you're going to give birth to a son. Abraham said, he laughed. Ka, 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 ka. Go and read it in Genesis 17. He laughed. He wasn't laughing at God.
He was laughing at the fact that actually he said what he was like. He says, God, Sarah's womb is dead. Sarah is 89 years old. Wouldn't that make you laugh? As a human being? And then God says, okay. And then he went further and says, Ishmael is my son. He's 13 years old. Let him be the heir. Why are you worrying about another son? It's over. You know, we have given up on the supernatural. We have settled for what we can do. But the Bible says in this season, with God, nothing is impossible. So Abraham argued with God and struggled with God. And God said, Abraham, all I need to do, I'm going to change your name from Abraham to what? Abraham. I'm going to change Sarai's name to Sarah. And this season, Sarah. Actually, Abraham was, when he heard his Sarah, that's when he laughed, really laughed. Have you ever been in a situation God say he will do something and you laugh? Because it looks so impossible. That's one. Now, Abraham sees him past, and God is still building towards the ultimate fulfillment of what this season will look like. But before, to fast forward, before this actual season will come, God already positioned a group of people in that season. Some of them were like a man called Zachariah. He was a priest. What you might call a pastor today or a minister. And he's married to a lady called Elizabeth. If you fast forward to that season now. And this man is a man of prayer. A man that believes in miracles. Believes in what God can do. That's why he prays. His side is a place of prayer. And this man has been married for a long time. And he watched as he prays. He's seen people give birth to children. He's seen people buy new cars. He's seen people, of course, you know what I'm trying to say. They don't have cars then. But, you know, people are getting prospered. Amen? They are getting their whatever they need for that time. If you put in your camels and stuff, they were being blessed with homes. They're blessed with this. Because he was in charge of incense, prayer. He's the one that blesses Israel. He's the one that releases them. That was his portion. And things were happening and happening and happening. And God is good. Amen? In this season, there was a visitation. You know why I said, you can pray for visitation, but pray that you believe. In that Luke chapter 1, Gabriel was sent in that season to visit Zachariah. Amen? Because John the Baptist was part of the process to prepare the way for Christ. So, angel shows up. How many of you know that if an angel comes to you, you will never doubt the message of an angel? How many of you believe it's an angel comes to you, you never doubt? Eh? You never doubt. She said, well, she's thinking twice because you know what? This is a man of prayer. If you close this door, close this room, nobody else, nowhere, you know, somebody can come into the door. That's how the prayer room was. In the where the incense are burned. You can't come in there. Angel shows up from the wall, just appears. Supernatural. Amen? Standing before Zachariah, he saw the angel, amazing, of course, form of a man, and right there in the place of incense. So there is no doubt it's from heaven. There's no doubt it's a supernatural atmosphere. And the angel brought a word from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And the angel said, Zachariah, your season has come. Your time of fulfillment has come. You've been praying and praying and praying. You've been pregnant with vision, with expectation. You've been praying for your wife. You've been praying for this. You've been praying. But now your time has come. Zachariah did not believe it. Remember what we read here? It says, verse 45 says, blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance. First, faith comes by hearing. But without belief, all things are possible to them that believe. It's one thing to hear, but it's another to believe. The angel says, your time has come. And Zachariah says, how do I know? Now, if you read that scripture there, you will not understand what it's saying. But basically, Zachariah was telling the angel, I don't believe it. Plain what? Why will a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, not believe even in the midst of a supernatural manifestation or visitation? Why will we not believe a word from God in a supernatural moment? What will make us not believe? Because of the same thing Abraham and Sarah went through. There's something that happens to believers, to Christians, when a promise is delayed. When expectations are delayed. When expectations are delayed and you've been praying and fasting and waiting and praying and fasting, you try, you do this, you try, you do this. Like Abraham, it's like when all those expectations has expired. Even though in your heart, you believe God can do anything. But in your mind, it is past. That situation is gone. So to Zachariah, God, just like he was telling Abraham, Abraham is Sarah. Sarah is good. Abraham loved God. Let's just forget that. That's what Zachariah was going through here. But the only difference with Zachariah was very, very outspoken about how he felt. How do I don't believe this. And he made the angel mad. I am from God. I am standing in your presence and telling you what God says to tell. I said, okay, from now on, you will not speak until the child comes. My brothers and sisters, God's time of visitation has no limit to the flesh. When it's time for God to visit a barren land, the Bible says God will make something new. Where there is desert, he will cause water. Where there is no way, he will make a way. Even if there's river blocking the way, he will make a path. When is God's time, barren lands will bear fruit. That's why Israel blossoms. When God's time comes, when there has been drought, there will be rain.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When God's time comes, the dead receive life.
Yes.
With God, nothing is impossible. That's what the message of this is. With man, the moment our time expires, we start gossiping about God. He didn't do it. Did you see? I prayed. You see this? Let's gossip about God. I prayed, I waited, I've done this, nothing has happened, let's move on. Amen? But with God, God's visitation, times of performance, times of fulfillment. So Zechariah, the angel showed mercy, and then that's when Elizabeth conceived. Amen? And so the scripture we read now said the angel now moved to Mary. Amen? Moved to Mary, and now that's what we read. He came to Mary and said, "You are beloved of the Lord. You are blessed. God has sent me to you, Mary. You are that woman that your seed will bruise the head forever of Satan. You overthrow iniquity and every work of darkness. You are that woman." Because Isaiah prophesied a virgin will conceive. Jesse spoke that scripture, Isaiah 9. A virgin will conceive. Nobody in history, before or after, have ever seen a virgin conceive. So why will Mary expect that? But Mary received, he knew this was an angel, he knew it's a messenger from the Lord. He says, "Let it happen to me according to your word." Amen? And guess what? Mary, as a human being, okay, if you say Elizabeth, we all know Elizabeth has been barren, she's old. So if Elizabeth is pregnant, that means it will happen to me. She was looking for confirmation. Amen? Sometimes we need confirmation in impossible situation. So she went to Elizabeth's house, like we read, and on getting there, she received a supernatural confirmation. The child in Elizabeth's womb rejoiced, the child, Mary, and then Elizabeth prophesied to Mary and said, "There will be a performance of what God has spoken to you." In your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show me every day as teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. There is nothing impossible with God. Just the timing. That's why the greatest test of our faith is patience. Amen? Zachariah's patience expired. Abraham's patience expired. But God's timing never expires. What is this Christmas to you? Another tradition of Jesus being born in a manger after 2,000 years? Is that where we are? Or does it mean something supernatural?
your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show every day as you're teaching me your will, that you do just what you say in your
I was, when God was teaching me about Christmas, Christmas means Emmanuel. The moment you're born again, you are a walking Christmas. You are a living Christmas. It's not just 25th of December, we eat, we drink, we celebrate, and it's over. We wait for another year. It's a remembrance that Emmanuel lives in you, lives in me. Emmanuel means God with you. And Mary, the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. Christmas means, Emmanuel means God is with you, is with me, so nothing should be impossible. That's what this season means. It means every believer is a miracle carrier. It means whatever aspires with the world, whatever the world says you cannot be, they are lying about you because God can make it possible. You must be careful the people you talk with when things look impossible in your life. Christmas, the very year it happened, 2,000 years ago with Mary, is the only time we need to celebrate it like a baby in the manger. After 30 years and after Jesus died and rose from the cross, we don't just celebrate Christmas or Easter or that by themselves. We celebrate the birth, the death, the resurrection in one. Then you get the full meaning for why he came. Easter, celebrate both the birth, everything, the full package, then you get the full meaning. The Lord was speaking to me, says, everything Satan did from the fall of man, Jesus came to undo. Not only undo, he now restored power to us by not only adopt, we are now not only born of God, but now we are the temples of the living God. Emmanuel means God with us 24/7 in and upon us. The only difference is faith and belief. When I started practicing the reality of Christmas, God, do you really live in me? Jesus, do you live in me? Emmanuel, mean, are you with me all the time because you live in me?
I had a car, I ran out of gas. Amen? And I had no money to put gas in my car. Because God was teaching me his ways, and he says, stop this you're doing, this job. I want you to trust me. I want to teach you how to trust me. So I ran out of gas right here, several times, but right here on Okowe, as I was getting to that gas station, I ran out of gas and I parked the car where the cars are parked and pushed it there so nobody will see my car stranded by the road and give me gas money. I attract sympathy and attention. Somebody, people are very kind here, they will bring gas for you. If I need to do that, if I need to make people pity me or find a way to help me, I should get a job and make money and help people. I want something bigger than money. I want God. So I cannot be wanting God to do something and find a way to make it human and a way to make it God. You got to pour water on that altar so that if fire falls, you know, somebody didn't light fire by mistake. I pushed the car, pushed it where no human being would suspect it's a car that is out of gas. And I stayed in the car and I was praying. And I have to be at a meeting, a very important meeting. And the devil says, you're late. You're disgracing yourself, you're late. I said, I can't get there anyway. Meaning, I should call somebody, come and take me to the meeting. Those temptations, do something, get to that meeting, leave your car, do every suggestion. I said, no. Father, you said I should depend on you. You can't be this big, and Emmanuel is here, and you can't help me. I stayed in the car, all the voices were coming, and then as I stayed there, nothing happened. And I stayed, nothing happened. And all these voices, foolishness. I stayed there. I said, no. I look at the sky. You made this world. You did this. You did it. You can't give me gas. No. No, you're bigger than that. I stayed in that car. And I fell asleep. Patience is the test of faith. You must make sure you are really believing before you wait. I stayed there, I fell asleep until I heard cuckoo on the door of the car. Somebody knocked on the window and I turned. And it was a student from the Bible college where I was heading for a meeting. And he knocked. And I woke up and I said, ah. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I'm just relaxing. He said, okay. He said, okay. I was driving past. I saw your car. But I felt God said I should give you this money. He gave me the money and he left. Because I didn't tell him I was out of gas. So I took the money. Got the guy from the gas station put in gas. I put in my car and then take the rest. Drove to the gas station and put in the gas and went to where I was going. I don't even remember what happened about the meeting, whether it was canceled, whatever happened. But that day, it was no more Jehovah Jireh I read about. I started tasting that God is a provider. And I can tell you stories upon stories, then little stories that graduated and graduated until you start waiting for even healings in the body or different things. You will be stretched. You will get to certain things. You're going to die. There was one particular situation. I says, God, I just want you to know that I've made up my mind. If you're with me, if I die, between me and you, you know I died in faith. But I will not. And the miracle came.
The situations where the bill, it ought to be paid in thousands of dollars, and this the person we're paying rent to kept knocking, and the person was under pressure. I could not, whenever God does this kind of miracle, say, don't ask anybody, don't tell anybody, don't even give anybody a clue. The reason is, I want to prove that this God is real. If the ministry, this Bible, all I see is the supernatural, why will church be natural? I have to prove I'm not wasting my time serving a God I don't know. Knocking, humiliating. I cried, I prayed, I fasted, I've done everything. But that thing, patience. I didn't know what patience is. All I knew was, it's getting embarrassing. God, do something. A woman ran to my office, said, let me see you on a particular day. Ran to the office and gave me in cash more than what I was looking for. Thousands of dollars. The woman said, I was visited in the night. I was so afraid. I couldn't wait to even make a check. It's, I just had to. When that happened, I knew Emmanuel was there. I laid on the floor that day as if he was standing right there. It was a miracle. My brothers and sisters, what does Christmas remind you of? Was he born by a natural person? It's about the supernatural. He was born by a virgin. Why Elizabeth in the story of Christmas? She was barren. John the Baptist was born miraculously. As we live today, I didn't want it to be another Christmas message. That we sing and we live. I want it to be that you remember that your God you serve is a God that can do anything. There is nothing impossible if you believe. There is nothing you wait on God for that he will not perform for you. He never did. He has never disappointed one person in the Bible. It's just our time is wrong. His time is right. He will never disappoint you. God will never put you to shame. Amen. If you trust him. Sometimes it appears like you're going to be reproached, made ashamed. The devil will make it possible for you to think that way. But even if you become an ashes, he will turn your ashes to beauty. Amen. The message of Christmas is the message of a supernatural God calling a supernatural people that have forgotten they are the kingdoms of the supernatural. And today I want to remind you, as we enter this season, you are believers, not just hearers. You've been born into a supernatural kingdom, and you should strive to see a miracle in your life. Once you taste one, taste two, if you taste the third miracle, nobody can ever deceive you and change your mind about a miracle working God. The reason why we don't push tithing and offering in this house
which is a denial of privileges. I have made up my mind to depend on God. There are so many privileges we have that deny us the opportunity for miracles. So, I want to bring this message that God said through Elizabeth to Mary, there will be a performance of every word God has spoken. Do you know every word God has spoken? Is there something you need that God has not spoken? He can do it yet. He's just reminding us, only believe. Believe. In closing, he said in Hebrews 1, God spoke to them through angels. God spoke to them through prophets. But now, what is more solid, he speaks to us through his Son, who is the Word made flesh. Only believe. All things are possible. That's Christmas for me. If you're here this morning, wherever you're sitting, I don't know what you're believing and expecting God to do, but I just want to declare this word as you lift up your eyes, your faith unto the Lord. I want to say to you based on this word, there are things that must happen before the end of the year that you have sown. You must see the fruit. My prayer for you this day is that before the year is over, you will have a fresh testimony. So that the things God has for 2023 will be for 2023. I pray this morning that whatever is in the account of God's provision that you have not received, that was slated in the archives of God, that so and so is to have this in 2022. I pray you must have it. I pray for every one of us to receive surprises from God. In these seasons of visitation, it was 2,000 years ago. I pray it will be a now thing for you.
Amen.
You see, God is teaching me that if I believe something and I speak it, it is a prayer. It's a prophetic prayer. And what I'm praying over you now, I believe it because I had and I received, and I'm saying, God, I must have fresh testimonies.
Amen.
And I had a testimony, a confirmation that blessed my heart just a few days ago. One day, it will be shared in this house. Amazing testimony. Those are the things I want to hear before the year is over.
Yeah.
That God is doing for Zion.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
So I declare unto you that God will remember you.
Amen.
God will visit you.
Amen.
That the visitation, whichever way it comes, there will be a fresh testimony.
Amen.
For 2022.
Amen.
And in your diary to be written, it happened in 2022.
Yes, Lord.
Because it's supposed to be 2022.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Your word never returns void. You said there shall be a performance. There shall be a fulfillment. Comfort your people. Console your people. Every affliction of darkness, let it be reversed because of a testimony. Restore hope. Restore joy. Restore peace because of your visitation today. Let there be a performance. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.